Next presenter is Phil Richards. Phil is a fisheries biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He has been involved with Chinook salmon research since he started working for Fish and Game 8 years ago and currently oversees the Chinook Salmon Stock Assessment Program in Southeast Alaska. Phil's presentation is entitled Implementing Coated Wire Tag Projects in Large Rivers to Estimate Chinook Salmon Smolt Abundance, Harvest, and Survival. Okay, Phil.
Okay, great. Thank you, Bob. As Dr. Bernard's talk gave a brief technical overview of stock assessment in Alaska, my talk will be focused more on the nuts and bolts of implementing coated wire tag programs in the field and how we do that in Southeast Alaska. All right, this is a photograph of one of our crews seining Stikine smolt on the Stikine River. And we usually do this in the spring of each year. The outline today, I'll briefly explain what a coated wire tag is, the history of the coated wire tag program in the Pacific Northwest, what information coated wire tags provide when we tag wild stocks, how we implement wild stock coated wire tag projects in Southeast Alaska. What we have learned, we've been tagging Chinook smolt in Southeast Alaska for up to 30 years, and the costs and challenges of tagging wild smolt. Coated wire tag is a small 1 millimeter piece of stainless steel wire. As you can see in the center photograph, it's a picture of someone's fingertip with a coated wire tag. Each tag is etched with a binary code, and those codes are unique to release groups. All tag fish are adipose clipped, and this is a universal identifying marker, which identifies all salmon that contain coated wire tags. So when fish are harvested or sampled at a later date, Any fish that has an adipose clip indicates that they likely have a coated wire tag. The heads are removed. They're sent into a lab, and the tags are dissected out of the head, and the tags are read, and then you know what release group those fish came from. A brief history. There's been a coast-wide ocean sampling program in place in Alaska, British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, and California. It's been in place for the past 40 years, and that's mandated by the Pacific Salmon Commission. I'd like to note that the sampling in Alaska only occurs in Southeast Alaska. There are no standardized sampling programs north and west of Southeast Alaska. More than 50 million coated wire tags are released annually on the Pacific coast. They're primarily used in hatcheries, but some wild stocks are also tagged. And coated wire tags remain the only stock identification tool that is Pacific coastwide in scope. Genetics is coming online quickly. I'm not a geneticist, but Bill Templin will address this a little later. But coated wire tags are still the go-to stock identification tool. Okay, information coated wire tags provide for wild stocks. We can estimate smolt abundance, marine survival, smolt to adult survival rates, marine distribution, where stocks are caught in the ocean, harvest, how many fish are caught, and all of these parameters provide precise population stats that we can use for stock assessment, management, including escapement goal analysis. They don't provide all the answers, but they provide important pieces to the puzzle. This is a map showing the four stocks that we tag in Southeast Alaska. From north to south are the Chilkat River, Taku River, Stikine River, and Yunik River. The Chilkat and Yunik Rivers are medium-sized glacial systems. Average run sizes are about 4,000 to 7,000 adult Chinook salmon. And they're primarily an inside rearing stock, meaning they spend their entire life history basically in Southeast Alaska growing and feeding. And we know this from Coda Wire Tag recoveries. And I'll get into that in a little more detail later. Taku and Stikine Rivers are our two largest rivers and our two largest producers of Chinook salmon in Southeast Alaska. The Stikine River, for example, is the fourth largest river system in Alaska by volume of the Unic, Kuskokwim, Copper, Stikine River, and Susitna River. It has about the same peak discharge as the Copper River or Susitna River. And the Taku and Stikine Rivers are primarily outside rearing as fish leave the system at age one, and they are rear primarily in the Gulf of Alaska and the Bering Sea. The objectives of our Coda Wire Tag programs in Southeast Alaska are to estimate the smolt abundance of Chinook salmon when they're leaving each river, estimate the length and weight of Chinook salmon smolt, estimate the marine harvest. Now, we estimate marine harvest for nearshore fisheries in Southeast Alaska because it's the only place there is an ocean sampling program. If the fish aren't sampled at sea, we don't know where they're harvested. So. We also estimate marine survival, smolt to adult survival, and overwinter survival, fried to smolt survival. We do this only on the Chilkat and Unic rivers. We do this by tagging Chinook fry in the fall and again in the springtime. I won't get into the details of how we analyze that, but it's possible. Okay, so where do you start for implementing Coda Wire Tag projects? First of all, you need a reliable and accurate method to estimate adult abundance. In Southeast Alaska, we do this through marker capture projects. All our systems are large, dynamic, glacial systems, and marker capture projects are the only way we can accomplish this. We typically capture the adults in fish wheels or gill nets near the mouth of the river, and they are later recaptured on the spawning grounds or in commercial fisheries upriver. And by the proportion of fish captured upriver, we can estimate the abundance of the adults. You also need a biological sampling program. You need age and sex apportioning by brood year. We also sample for length at age. And we also sample for the Coda Wire tags to get a marked fraction. And we also have marine harvest sampling programs in the ocean to sample for Coda Wire tags. These have to be local and region-wide in scope. And we shoot for sampling 20% of all fisheries. And basically, I would highly recommend all of these are in place before you attempt the Coda Wire Tag project. You can't have one without the other. So the nuts and bolts and how we implement smolt project. We capture our smolt with seines and minnow traps. We use baited minnow traps. We bait the minnow traps with salmon eggs. We usually get into the systems as soon as the ice goes out, sometimes before the ice goes out. And we trap Chinook smolt along the main stem glacial rivers, typically along woody debris. Sometimes they're found in gravel bars. And minnow traps are the bread and butter for capturing our smolt on three of our four systems. We also seine for Chinook smolt. We find Chinook in high abundance during their immigration on shallow gravel bars. A lot of times they'll be found in a couple inches of water, maybe knee-deep water. And one crew can capture several thousand Chinook smolt a day during peak immigration. After the Chinook smolt are captured, they're transferred in aerated live wells to a central location, usually at our base camp. Where we have a tagging shack, and they're held in large net pens until the end of the day when the crew is ready to tag. And this is a picture of one of our tag shacks. In the tag shacks, the smolt are anesthetized. They're all given an adipose clip. A subsample of the smolt are weighed and measured. Each fish is injected with a coated wire tag, and they're held overnight, and the following day they're checked for tag retention, and then they're released. This is a publication we put out several years ago. That's Juvenile Salmon Capture and Coated Wire Tag Manual. This contains a wealth of information on all phases of coated wire tag projects capturing salmon smolts. This was written by technicians that spent their entire careers in the field capturing and tagging Chinook coho smolts. It just contains a wealth of information, and this is available either online or we have hard copies available through our office. And basically explains in detail what I just briefly explained earlier on how to capture and take smolt. I picked one specific example just to give you an idea of the data that we collect and the resolution of the data. This is from the Stikine River. So in 2002, we had a spawning escapement of 50,000 Chinook salmon. We tagged 26,000 smolt in 2004 that came from that spawning event. For the following 5 years, we inspected 8,000 adults from 2005 to 2009, which all came from the 2002 spawning escapements, 88 of which were marked. They gave us a smolt estimate of 2.5 million, standard error, about 250,000, and a CV of approximately 11%. This produced 50 smolt per spawner. 1.38 adults returned per spawner, so just over replacement. And a 2.8 marine survival, that's smolt to adult survival. And in the near shore fisheries in southeast Alaska, there was a marine harvest of 14,874, which is about a 27% exploitation rate. And we have data like this for all four stocks for ranging from 10 to 30 years. This slide shows, let's see if I can get the pointer to come up. These are our four stocks, the Chilkat River, Taku River, Stikine River, and Unuk River. As I mentioned earlier, the Chilkat and Unuk River are inside rearing stocks. We know this due to intensive sampling and intensive commercial fisheries that occur in southeast Alaska. There's a troll fishery that occurs year-round that is sampled, for example, and any fish living, rearing in southeast Alaska are eventually captured and sampled in these fisheries. The Taku and Stikine rivers appear as their life histories. They exit the river as age one smolt, and they rear in the Gulf of Alaska and the Bering Sea. We don't capture any juvenile fish in southeast Alaska in the Taku and Stikine rivers. The only recoveries we have are in the high seas, and the points here are Taku and Stikine recoveries are recovered in the Gulf of Alaska and Bering Sea. So those are smolts that we coated wire tagged in the Taku and Stikine and later identified as captured in the Gulf of Alaska and Bering Sea. Okay, and some of the costs and challenges of tagging wild smolt. These costs are just for tagging wild smolt. They don't include any of the other stock assessment programs, which are also needed. So annual operation costs, we spend on average $80,000 to $100,000. That's just for a spring coated wire tagging program. Equipment, if you wanted to start up a project, tagging machine, boats, traps, tag shags, setting up a camp, estimate that would also cost about $100,000. It's hard to quantify the additional costs of, say, a marker capture project, a weir project, marine sampling programs, but they could easily multiply those figures by three or four to incorporate all those into a program. Okay, some of the challenges, environmental, is weather, ice, water level, all of them wreak havoc with us every year. We try to get in as soon as the ice is out and every year is different. Luckily, we have some crews that are very experienced and are highly adapted and know how to catch smolt underneath virtually all circumstances. Time, maybe a better subject for this bullet would be patience. It takes 5 to 8 years to get results after you start tagging smolts. For example, for the fish that spawned in 2012, they would be tagged in the spring of 2014. They would return 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19. So, and you'd be analyzing results in 2019 or 2020. So you don't just tag the fish and get results immediately. You might have a general idea after 3 to 5 years on what your marine survival is, but to get your final results, it takes a lot of time. Knowledge of habitat, you need an experienced crew that is intimately familiar with the river to capture the smolt. If you can't capture a large amount of smolt, it's kind of useless. We tag on average 20 to 40,000 smolts on each system per year. And field logistics, always complicated in Alaska. Say in Southeast we have large wild systems, boat or airplane access or helicopter access. And but over the years we've found ways to accomplish the Coda Wire Tag projects. And take any questions. This is a picture of our crew on the Stikine River, and these are the guys that make the project projects happen.
Thanks, Phil. We have time for some questions from panelists.
Daniel Schindler from the University of Washington. I guess my question is about how you decide how many smolts to tag and whether you involve any type of power analysis that's tailored to specific questions you're trying to answer.
We do. The reality on most of our systems are we tag as many smolt as we catch. But we do estimate based on population size, number of fish we expect to capture over the brood year, and that gives us a rough estimate on how many smolt we need to tag. But the realities are we tag as many as we can catch, the more the better.
Randall Peterman, Simon Fraser University, British Columbia. Phil, I was wondering if you could just speak generally, if not specifically, about the Southeast Alaska data comparing the marine survival rates of hatchery-derived and wild stocks that are nearby. I don't know if you have enough samples of those pairs in Southeast Alaska, and if you don't, can you talk more generally what the literature is reporting?
We have looked at that. The information is available. I am not familiar with it enough to speak to it at this time, but I know there are several people here that that can speak to it. And we did organize that data before the session to prepare for questions like that.
Mm. Apparently one of your colleagues is preparing to answer. Can you set up, hello over there, can you set up the mic so we can get on?
Ed Jones, Division of Sportfish. We've looked at that in pretty good detail, and what we've seen is that, generally speaking, the hatchery stocks survive about half the rate as the wild stocks. They might be twice the size when they go out, but they survive about half the rate. And looking at a correlation on marine survivals between the hatchery stocks and the wild stocks, there's no real apparent correlation. It's kind of a mystery to us.
Okay. Thanks.